The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined in studio by Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent. Morning, Geraldine.
Good morning, Pat.
The inexorable rise of the EV. Now, we see a huge rise in the number of inquiries about EVs during the fuel crisis. People saying, this diesel, this petrol is too dear, I'll go EV. Mm. Whether that'll ultimately translate, we'll probably see at year's end.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think it's making people, probably the diehards, even consider it now. Because if you look at the running costs, and we know they're, you know, if you have if you have charging facilities at home, if you have solar panels, it's an absolute no-brainer. So I think people, even as I said, the diehards are beginning to think, God, there has to be a cheaper way to run a car. So
now, one of the issues is the changing battery technology. And you've got some news from China.
Yeah, so CATL, I think this is how you pronounce them. I always hear varying different ways of doing it, had a technology day during the week, and they announced various different improvements and advancements with their batteries. One of them is a new condensed battery. Now, that's essentially a semi-state solid battery.
Yeah,
and they're talking about a range, now this is extraordinary, of 1,500 kilometres in a saloon and over 1,000 in a heavy SUV. So incredible. Now, the previous one, I think, was 1,000 kilometres. So, I mean, we keep seeing these figures.
And we'll see these in high-end cars, first of all, and then they will make their way down. But I recently got to drive the new MG4 Urban in Germany, and it's priced at a, you know, very competitive. It's coming to Ireland, I believe.
Yeah, and it's priced from 22,995. And that's why we actually see at the moment the cheapest new cars available are EVs. So, like, there's no excuse now for people if they still have that idea.
If you're buying a new car.
If you're buying a new car, if they still have that idea that they're expensive, they're not. Check out the prices. They're actually the cheapest. And even that is making a difference in the second-hand market as well. We see more second-hand cars available and at really good price points. So, I mean, I would encourage anyone who's still thinking of the old ways that they were more expensive, no, just check out some of the prices.
And I remember looking at some videos of buses in China going on fire because they had batteries in them. These are the lithium batteries. But the latest battery technology, again, which I saw in Germany, you know, they tried to set it on fire and they couldn't, you know, because it's using this semi-solid state technology.
Yeah, the other thing is CATL use what's called thermal isolation. So basically, it's, you know, this thermal runaway, which is the issue that once it starts, it's really, really hard to put out an EV battery fire. This should actually contain it. So if anything goes wrong with part of the battery, it won't spread to the rest of it. So they're getting safer and safer. The other thing that they unveiled was a fast charging battery, which can go, and this is extraordinary, from 10% to 98% in 6.5 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, that's phenomenal.
That's so like filling up with the petrol or even faster.
Are even faster. So you see these two developments now in terms of technology. And as you say, another year or two, you'll begin to see that in mainstream cars. And then you'll see the other battery makers as well catching up, because we know that once you set a target like that, everybody else races to do it. So huge advancements happening really, really quickly in battery technology.
Now, meantime, some old sins still remain. Uninsured drivers.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. You know that they brought in the new app for the Gardaí, plus they linked it to the motor insurance database. So they had up-to-date insurance details. So if they stopped you, they could tell instantly whether you were insured or not. Now it seems that that had an impact for a short time, but now it's kind of just hit. It's still at a fixed rate of something like 1 in 15 cars are uninsured.
Yeah.
And that hasn't moved. Now, the fleet has grown, so the percentages have stayed static, but the numbers of actually uninsured cars is still growing.
But there is a way. There is a way.
Yeah, so what the Motor Insurance Bureau are calling for is to introduce continuous vehicle coverage. Now, essentially what that says is if you own a car, it has to be insured. It's as simple as that. The law stands at the moment that you have to be caught in the act of driving without insurance, whereas this is simply they would notify people who own a car and say, listen,
check their
database.
So if you have it in the backyard and you only sneak out uninsured to the pub at night and then drive back, you'll never be caught, maybe, if you live in a an outlying area.
And the previous one is only as useful as the amount of guards that are on the road. So the idea of this is, now, if your car was off the road, as in actually declared
off the road,
then you're fine. But they would actually match the registration and the insurance details. They would send you a letter. They would remind you. If you didn't comply, you would be fined, and then eventually you'd be prosecuted. So apparently this had a massive impact on uninsured drivers, uninsured cars in the UK. And it's sort of the standard in Europe. So that's what they're calling for. Apparently as well, it doesn't take a huge amount of change to bring it into law.
OK, it went down from 6% uninsured drivers in the UK to 2.5%.
Yeah.
So more than halved the rate of uninsured drivers.
It literally got rid of the problem. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And that is standard throughout many countries in Europe. If you want to get on the road, of course, you have to pass your driving test. And there is news about the cancellations for all sorts of odd reasons.
Yeah, so the Road Safety Authority has cancelled more than 50,000 driving tests since 2023, and I think more than 5,000 this year alone. And they're saying that it's down to operational reasons.
Now, they look at it, tester illness, and that's 22,000 of that 50,000.
Yeah.
22,741. 2,223 cancelled because of medical appointments. 485 due to late annual leave requests. 479 of no tester being available. 279 cancellations for personal leave, which seems bonkers because they should be able to plan all of those things. Adverse weather, you can understand that.
Yeah, that's okay.
1,800 cancellations. In 600 cases, tests were cancelled because priority had to be given to supervisor tests, meaning ordinary candidates lost their slots. That's chaos.
Yeah, the whole thing is extraordinary. And I think what it shows is a system under incredible stress. There is no, there's no slack in it whatsoever. If somebody phones in sick, there's no replacement. So we need more testers, more driving test centres, and also a better way for people to cancel their tests as well, because this is just growing.
Now the test is going to have to change, because the old idea of the hill start, where you had to use the handbrake, and there are automatic handbrakes on many cars, also using the clutch and the stick shift, that may be a thing of the past fairly soon.
Yeah, it seems manual gearboxes are on life support basically at this stage. They're chugging along, but they're going out. Yeah, for the first time ever, Dundee Cars reported that automatics have now overtaken manuals in their second-hand car market. Now, we know in terms of new cars, I think 75% at this stage are automatic. Now we see that actually filtering into the second-hand market. So actually buying a manual car is becoming more and more difficult. It's very difficult to buy one new, but now it seems it's very difficult to buy one second-hand.
Now, there is an issue which we've seen when Americans come here and they rent a car and it's a stick shift and they've never driven a stick shift in their lives. Well, what's going to happen when kids pass their test, the new test with automatic only? Then they go to rent a car in Spain or Portugal and it's a stick shift. And they won't actually be insured in theory because their license only covers automatic.
Yeah, if you do your test in an automatic, you're only insured to drive, or you're only covered, sorry, your driving license only covers you to drive an automatic car. I think the problem is, Pat, though, even with the best will in the world, if you want to learn on a manual, people learn on what's available at home because that's where they practice. So if your parents have bought an automatic car and that's all that's available, the chance of you having a manual car and actually getting up to speed with it, it's
and the interesting thing, of course, is why are so many cars automatic? Because most hybrids are automatic.
Hybrids, electric, and also they're more fuel efficient these days and there's less of them. It's a bit like diesel. It's not that consumers are making the choice. They're just not being offered it. It's very, very hard to buy a manual car at the moment. I know from testing them, I actually have to think twice when I get a manual. I go, God, it's a manual car. Never get them to drive anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, the inquiry's on, if you're looking at automatics versus manuals, you can go on Dundeal or any of these websites, CarZone, and you can see the change is happening before your eyes. Now, the cost of running a car. If you decide, we have two cars in our house, we're going to give up one, how much would we save?
Okay, so updating, this was the Out Insurance did a survey last year and they found it was 10,300. It's gone up to about 10,500 at the moment a year to run a car. Now, they looked at a 1.6 litre Hyundai Tucson, fairly standard car, very popular car in Ireland. So 10,500 to run it. Obviously, that could even get higher if fuel prices go up more. So in a two-car household, you could be spending 20,000. The interesting thing is, though, if you get rid of one car, you're not going to save 10,000. Because remember, depreciation is factored into that and people don't spend the money on depreciation on a weekly basis. It doesn't come out of your household budget. So you might be disappointed to discover that if you give up a car, you might only save 4,000. Now, 4,000 is a lot of money, but it takes a lot of effort. I think that's what came out. I wrote a piece that's in the paper actually today in The Independent.
It's very interesting because, I mean, a lot of people say, actually, I don't need my car for work, but I've got to bring John to the sports and I've got to pick up Emma from the Irish dancing and I've got to do all this stuff. And what happens if it rains? I have to pick up my little lamb from, you know, wherever.
Or if the bus doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Or if the bus just doesn't go to that place that you're going. So it's actually very difficult. And I think what I discovered more than anything writing that piece and talking to people is actually it's a lovely idea. People think I could have, you know, a better life. I could cycle with the kids to school. But in reality, it is very difficult. The other thing that I discovered, which was interesting as well, is again, what we were alluding to at the start. When people are looking at the cost of running a car, they don't think about actually replacing it. They think about replacing it with an EV. They think about reducing the cost of it rather than actually getting rid of it because that's, you know, that's more feasible.
Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor with The Independent. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio.
The Pat Kenny Show. Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.